Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless. Welcome to Soul Church Chapel Online. Thank you for joining us, and we cannot wait to hear tonight from the one and only Reggie Dabbs. But before we do that, we want to pray, and we also want to pray for you. I don't know what's happening in your world, in your week. All I know is God is right in the middle of it, and the Bible says that He never leaves us and He never forsakes us. And so right now, I want to pray and just believe that the presence of God, this is Pentecost week, would just invade your home, your business, wherever you are right now. So hey, why don't you just stop, pause, close your eyes if you can, as long as you're not driving, keep them open. But let's pray and let's believe God for miracles in our lives, in our week. Father, we just thank you for your presence. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I speak freedom over sickness, freedom over mental health issues. Father, whatever struggles, situations people are facing right now, Lord, as we come together, Lord, I thank you that you're with us. And Lord, I pray that you speak to us tonight. Lord, I pray that we would lean in tonight with an open mind for what you want to say. Oh God, we love you tonight. And we're so grateful for Jesus. Amen. Amen. So great to see you. If this is your first chapel online, a big welcome. And this is really kind of a special, a sacred edition of chapel, because we want to talk tonight about some of the issues that have been in the news over the last few days. In fact, reality is it's not really the last few days or even weeks or months, but the reality of black people's lives over generations and generations. And I hope you were outraged as I was at the hideous death of George Floyd just a few days after the horrendous news of Ahmaud Arbery. And I felt it upsetting to my stomach to see these black lives being tortured and murdered on the streets of America. And, you know, when we hear of people who are struggling, whether it's right here in our own city or people around the world, what we would do is we would pray and we would respond and we would give and we would act and we would send. And, you know, there is injustice in our world right now. And I believe the heart of God is that the Christian church would rise up and stand against it. And, you know, for Chantel and I, we believe that this is actually a pivotal moment in history. And, you know, Chantel was meant to be speaking tonight, but we've kind of just shifted things around and moved things around because we are really serious about tackling and understanding this issue about racial injustice at a greater level. And so I'm asking for our church and our city and our nation to really seek God and pray and find His heart on this issue. And I know His heart is peace and it is love and it is forgiveness. But we also, you know, we need to understand this issue more. And I have two, you know, white kids, and my prayer is that they grow up to know that they are no better off, no more advantage, no better prospects to achieve their dreams than any black person that they know. And sadly, that is clearly not the case in our world right now. You know, it was Benjamin Franklin who said this: justice will not be served until those who are unaffected are as outraged as those who are. And tonight, you know, I'm in school. And, you know, I've got this, I get things right and I get things wrong. But we have to commit to the classroom to make sure that we stay learning. And these are major issues. And these issues don't just affect people in America. They affect people right here in Norwich, right people right here in the UK. And Black Lives Matter. And we want everyone watching tonight to know that we are committed on this platform. And this is a platform that God has graced to Chantel and I. And we want to learn and we want to educate ourselves. We want to change and we want to love, and basically we want to get better. So we're committed to using the platform that God's given us to help people, starting with us. And I'm, as a pastor, I want to say sorry if I haven't addressed this more, if I haven't talked about it more. We're all learning, and I'm personally learning about this, and I don't have all the answers, but we are searching for them. You know, our church congregation in Norwich is probably 30% plus non-white, and we owe it to every single one of you to confront racism, to resist it, and not to allow it in any form or area of our life or our church. and to live the life that Jesus lived out, which was one of compassion and justice for the oppressed and justice for the afflicted. We have a special guest tonight, and he's not just a guest, he's a friend. In fact, he's been to Soul Church, Reggie Dabbs, and Reggie speaks to over 2 million young people every year in schools all across the world, and he will say many incredible things, but ultimately, he's going to challenge us. He's going to challenge you, he's going to challenge me, and he's going to help us to understand more about how we love each other. So let me just frame Reggie a little bit. Reggie is married to Michelle. He's got an amazing son, Dominic. They live in Fort Myers, Florida. And he spends his time basically helping people, helping those young people in schools, helping celebrities. He works with NFL teams. And he is just an incredible guy. He came 4 years ago to Soul Church. And we had a Saturday evening service in Cromer. There was only probably 20 people in the basement of a cafe. He heard about it. He said, I'm going to come. And he came. He spoke to 20 people just as passionately as I've seen him speak in stadiums of 25,000 plus people. Reggie and Michelle are the real deal. We love you. We're so grateful that you have helped us in our hour of need, understanding more about racial injustice. We love you, Reggie. We're going to jump straight into the conversation right now. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you for being with us tonight at Chapel. And I'll be back as we conclude the convo at the end. Thank you. Reggie Dabbs.
Yes.
Hey.
Welcome into the room.
Oh, I just wish we could have done this over some fish and chips.
Next time.
Next time, Reggie.
What's that town? Cromer? What's the town?
Where Cromer.
Yeah, good job.
Cromer. I ain't never going to forget it. I'll be telling everybody.
Fish and chips there. Good.
Hey, we are so grateful for your time, and you are so much in demand right now. And we're gonna have this conversation around the issue of what happened, tragically to George Floyd, and we are hurting this side of the ocean, and we are standing with our Black community here in Norfolk and in the UK, and we just wanted to get really a voice to come in and speak into the situation. We don't have any answers. We want to educate ourselves in this, Reggie, and we want to share this as far and wide as possible from our church. So this is a conversation we take really seriously at this time. We first met you in 2009 in South Africa.
Absolutely.
You're on a schools tour. Reggie speaks to over 2 million young people every year, and he's just a phenomenal leader. And we just want to say thank you.
Yes.
It was only yesterday, Reggie, we met a young man.
It's just incredible.
From Western Australia. And he goes, Reggie Dabbs is on tomorrow. I said, yeah. He said, he impacted my life. He was in Perth, Australia decades ago, and he still remembers the impact. And so I want to say thank you.
Yes.
And you are just incredible. We look up to you. We love you.
Thank you.
I just want to say one thing to the viewers. We're going to hold off the comments during this conversation. The reason I want us to hold off is I want us to lean in and listen to everything that Reggie says. And often by comments, we can get distracted a little bit. We're going to open up those comments later on. But I think it'd be great just to maybe everyone just zoom in, listen, and then afterwards we can engage. So as well, please don't switch off tonight. Don't say, oh, this is not relevant.
Yeah.
This is not for me. Let me tell you, this is the heart of God. And this man is going to speak from the heart of God tonight. And the gospel is to fight injustice. And that's what tonight's all about. So Isaiah 1:17 says, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, and bring justice. And so, Reggie, some of the questions we're going to ask you tonight are from our Black community, some of our young adults in that community, and they're hurting right now. So I'm going to just sort of throw it back to you, Reggie, and say, hey, would you speak hope into this situation?
Yeah, absolutely.
Please, thank you.
Hey, and I'm going to do this on like a kindergarten level. So the first thing I need to do is to help you as a white couple see what a Black man saw a week ago on Monday when the news came out and it was all over social media, what happened to Mr. Floyd. When I watched and my friends watched that policeman with his knee on that man's throat, he was like, I can't breathe. And then he literally called out for his mom before he passed out and eventually died. And what hit me, it wasn't that it was a white cop with his knee on a black man. It was a white cop with his knee on me.
Wow.
It could have been me.
Wow.
And I understand what the world is like. Well, it could happen. If it wasn't for video, we wouldn't have seen it. Well, we did see it. And since we saw it, we got to help it. And I know it's probably happened. And I had somebody go, well, I don't see nobody crying when a black cop kills a white man. If you have to hear this entire conversation and say, but, okay, if I say Black Lives Matter and you go, but all people matter, then you need to seriously look at yourself. I'm not here to make friends. I got enough friends. I have people who are disfriending me because of this whole situation. But it's time somebody stand up and say, I saw my son under that policeman's knee. I saw my dad who's passed away, but I saw my nephew and niece who live in Minneapolis. So if you look at it from the, I know people do wrong. I know black people do wrong, but do me a favor. In the words of my friend T.D. Jakes, he said it Sunday, and I stood up in my living room and clapped. He goes, if I rob somebody, put me in jail. Take me to court. If I commit murder, if I beat my wife, if I do any of these things, but please do not arrest me on the street, handcuff me on the street, beat me on the street, and convict me on the street. We have laws to take care of all people, not just some people. Yeah. And that's it. That's it. That's what it comes down to. And I have to stand up. You got to stand up. I like Nelson Mandela, and I'll quote him and Martin Luther King many, many times a day. He said this, it always seems impossible until it's done. Racism seems impossible, but now it's our turn to do something about it. I'm 56 years old. 20 years from now, my son is going to look back on this whole thing, and he's going to see this conversation, this video, this Zoom, this chat, this moment, and he's going to say, my dad stood for hope. I would lay down my life for your pastor. I would lay this couple. I love them since 2000. And the girl can sing. She black, y'all. She can sing. But you got to understand, it ain't got nothing to do with color. And we're going to get into this. You know why it doesn't have to do with color? Because I don't see through a black man's eyes anymore. Mm-hmm. I see through Jesus' eyes.
That's right. Yeah.
And once Jesus changes your heart, mm-hmm. he can change your nature. Yeah. And unfortunately, a lot of this happens because Jesus hadn't been able to change people's heart to change their nature.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Gosh. Reggie, a lot of people have emailed in and said they are struggling with anger right now.
Yeah.
They're just overwhelmed with it. They feel like they want to, you know, maybe make choices they could potentially regret. What would you say to people like that who are struggling right now? And many are.
Oh, it's human nature. It's human nature to rise up. You got to do something. We got to say something. We got to do something. Now, my wife is a purseaholic, all right? And so the other day, some looters got into Louis Vuitton and just started taking purses. And she was watching it at 6 a.m. and she yelled, you don't love me. I said, what? She goes, if you loved me, you'd have been in that Louis Vuitton store and got me that purse. And we laughed. And then I laid down and I started thinking about it and I went, that's the way the world sees it. You know, they owe me this. They owe me. They owe me. I'm going to get what's mine. Yeah. And how do you collate? I know. And if you're on the other side going, how do you collate a man losing his life to you just taking a free purse? Yeah. You see, sometimes when you get desperate, you do stupid stuff.
Yeah.
You really do. But here's what I found out from Martin Luther King Jr. He said, in the end, we will not remember the voices of our enemies, but we will remember the silence of our friends.
Wow.
And if I can change that in this context, it says this. In the end, we will not remember the voices of our enemy, but we will remember the silence of the church. And as the church, we're not silent. That's why we're doing this. You reached out to me all the way in America. And I said, absolutely. Why? Because you, church, have a pastor and a staff who are living in your community. They're a part of your community. And he said it before we came on. He goes, I don't know, I don't understand. I'm here to learn. And the best teacher I know is Reggie. So I'm calling Reggie to get him here. And dude, if we can do it live, we'll do it live. And someday soon, I want to come and be with you again. It's been a while. And I'm not doing that just to say it, but I mean, I love people. I love people. And it breaks my heart to see this happen. I've been crying for 7 days now, but it has to happen. There's something deep has to happen to cause us to change. And that's it. If you're struggling, dude, first of all, if you feel that rising up, that anger rising up, go in your closet, get on your knees, grab your Bible and say, because there's something in the Bible that you need to know. And whether it's anger or fear, because they're both, they're really close. They're close. They're coordinated close. Anger makes you do stuff that you regret later. Fear makes you not move when you could have stood up. So here's what it is. 365 times. How many days are there in a year? 365. Only God can do this. You know what he said in the Bible 365 times? Do not be afraid. Do not fear.
Wow.
360. He did it for every day we would ever live our entire life. He has a time for us to hear from him. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. So if you're angry, mad, don't let that rise up. Put it under the Holy Spirit. Let him speak to you. Let him give you that peace. And be man and woman enough to say, and if you need help, go to pastor, say, I'm mad. I'm mad. And let somebody talk it out before you act it out.
That's right.
That's the key. That's Talk it out before you act it out. You are lucky. You're a lucky church. You have surrounded yourself with a church community who's not going to say, hey, yeah, you go protest. Oh, yeah, you fight for what's yours. No, you've got a white man who's saying, give me a sign. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to go with you on this. I'm going to. And he probably, and the church is probably going to lose people because of him standing for you. But guess what? That's cool because God knows what's happening. He knows what he's going to do. Yeah. And if one person in the church hurts, we all hurt.
Yeah.
And that's what this is about.
It's beautiful.
So good, Reggie. I'm aware that there's going to be a lot of pastors and leaders also watching this. You know, it's going to go far and wide. How do we, and listen, we have probably got this wrong in the past. We probably have skirted around the issue, stayed silent on the issue far too long. And, you know, but how do we approach the topic of racial injustice?
The best way is to be honest. And then I got to go back to how we started this before we started filming. Your first comment was, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
When you talked to me yesterday, I don't know what to do. I need help. I need help with my church, my family, my people. Dude, that's it. You got to care. Just straight up care. If you care, it's the beginning of healing. And you know what? You may not know what to say, but just being there is going to make a difference. It's going to make a difference. It's going to make a difference in the world.
There's so much confusion, Reggie, you know, because like John says, we don't know. And we're hoping that we can, you know, sort of navigate our way through this with, you know, people like yourself that would help us and learn and give us a little bit more insight as to what you
absolutely
see and how we can support the Black community. But, you know, for us, for me in particular, I'm Mexican-American. You know, I grew up in the ganglands, you know, and so I saw what we were treated like as well. And so for us, we got taught, you don't see color. You don't see, like, we're all equal. We all have to treat each other as equals. And now it's like helping people almost learn another way, where you said, now you have to see color. And I think people are probably not able to speak because they don't know what to say anymore. It's like, how do you even use the words? Because once upon a time you said, well, you have to see each other as equal and no color. You don't see color. Mm. And now we're really trying to educate ourselves again to go, well, how can we move forward with that?
Let me help you with American history. American history is real simple. And a lot of people get this one phrase, and it's coming out a lot, white privilege. A lot of people think white privilege means there's more white Caucasian people on the planet than there are any other race. That's not what white privilege means. In the United States of America, back in our history, the first slaves that came over were brought over to clean and to make sure our best university was clean for the white kids who went to school there. So white privilege, and you know, and don't get me wrong, listen to me, history is history, but that doesn't mean it can't be changed. Let's go United Kingdom on this. In one of the worst times in your nation's history, the greatest white man I know stood up, and some of y'all are gonna not like this, but I love it. Dude, Winston Churchill stood up and he said, history will be kind to me, for I intend to write it. And he did. He rewrote history for himself and for his entire nation. If Winston Churchill can do it for the UK then somebody can do it for the UK today and America as well. What it is simply this. White privilege means this, that you have been set up to win. You know, every door you need. If a white man is born, you have a white child and he's a boy or a girl, there are 10 doors that they can walk through and get to where they want to be in life, period. If a black guy is born or girl and they want to walk through those doors, there's 6. And behind all 10, even the 6 that they can walk through, somebody's on the other end trying to hold the doorknob, keeping you from twisting that doorknob. And it's just an illustration to help you understand. Dude, there's not, you don't need to be, I ain't white privilege. I grew up poor. Ain't got nothing to do with finances. All it has to do is what our forefathers set up for the world to look like. And they thought they were doing it right when literally they were doing it wrong. And here we are in 2020, suffering from the mistakes that they made then. But in every point of this whole racial thing, there were men, white men, who stood up with black men. And when the black man went to jail, the white man went to jail too. Because here it is. We don't want, why does it have to change? Why? And I've heard this. I had somebody write me and say, why don't your people just stay where you belong? And I'm like, okay, well, and I didn't even answer it because that's not. Social media has sparked a lot of stuff because when you can't look somebody in the eye and say something, you say whatever you want. And some of you young adults, you need to put your finger down before and get in your closet and hear God before you start typing. So the history in this whole thing, and that's what I'm trying to set up for the church, is the church needs to understand the church has been the most silent entity ever. And even now, I haven't looked on social media today, but the denomination I'm with in America hasn't said one word.
Wow.
Hasn't put one post up on social media about this event. And it's, yeah.
Why? I want to know why. Because.
Well, so many. Okay. You really want to know why?
Yeah. I think we all do. We're like.
Yeah.
Well, here's why. Social status has infiltrated the church so much that sometimes truth gets clouded by the money.
Wow.
It just get clouded. You know, we want to finance it. We want to be able to do what we've got to do. But if we say certain things, that man with the big purse may say, nah, I ain't going to help y'all no more.
Wow.
But as the church, we've decided, and unfortunately take a backseat, said, well, what did you guys do? Oh, we have Black History Month. Yeah, you know, we had that. There's 11 months in a year, and you celebrate it 1 month. But that, and it used to not be that. I'm not throwing daggers. You just need to know what it is. But what's going to change the narrative? Here's what's changing the narrative. This event that we're doing right now is changing the narrative.
Yeah.
Those of you who grew up in your part of England, have you ever had a pastor calling Black American, get on worldwide television and say things like this? No, we're changing the narrative. We're changing it. And that's all the church has to do. Let's go biblical, right? So let's go to a day in the book of Acts. I'm not going to read it. You can do it. It's Acts chapter 3, starting at verse 1. It was Peter and John. They went to the temple to pray. When they got to the gate called Beautiful, they saw a man, and he had been crippled for life, and he was begging for money. Now, listen, Peter and John had been to that temple many, many, many times before. They'd gone there all the time. But why did they see something different? Because the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that when they were all in the upper room in one accord, the power of the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And when they went to the temple like they've always done, the only thing that different this time was the way they were looking, the way they were seeing, because they had the Holy Spirit in them. So this time when they saw that, the Bible specifically says that he was put there every day begging, begging. But this time, Peter and John stopped. And then they said this, Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And I love it because in verse 7 it says, taking him by the hand. Oh, come on. Let's preach it right now. Taking him by the hand, they picked him up and his legs became strong and he began to walk and he went into the temple, jumping and leaping and praising God. Now, everybody stop. Stop. Now, let's do this. There's a black man who was crippled. Our whole life, we've been told you can do good, but you can't do that good. You need to become an athlete. That's the only way you're going to get out of this neighborhood. You need to be a comedian. You need to be a rapper. You need to be a singer. You need to have something you can give to the white man so that you can raise yourself up. Don't get me wrong. Have you noticed I've never said I'm sorry about what I'm saying? I'm sorry that all this has happened, but I'm not sorry about what I'm saying because you don't need to apologize for hope.
Yeah.
And sometimes to find hope, you got to be hurt. And this man who was crippled for life, he was told all his life, you can sit at the gate called beautiful, but you can't go through it. You can sit at the gate, but you can't go in. Wow. How many times have you can do it, but you can't go that far? That's too much. Don't dream like that. There's no way that could happen. Do you know who you are? Look where you're from. Look at it. No, not at all. But this time, because somebody saw through Jesus' eyes, they didn't just speak hope. They reached down and they touched and they helped him up. That man wasn't wanting money. He was wanting a hand up. People are not wanting anything but a church that'll stand beside him, reach down, touch him, and give him a hand up. That's what this is all about, church. It's time for us to be Peter and John going to the temple called the world and give people a hand up. The Good Samaritan. Let's go there. Look, and I love, this is Jesus' story. The first guy that saw the man beat up and walked by on the left-hand side was the priest. Yeah. Jesus used his right-hand man to be the bad guy in the story. The second was a Levite. Do you know one of the definitions of a Levite is the one who sings before in the temple before the sermon is preached? So it was literally the worship guy and the preacher, and they passed on the other side of the road. Then it said it was a Samaritan. One of the definitions in the American Dictionary for a Samaritan is this: an average, ordinary man or woman who rises above the prejudice in their life to do what's right.
Wow.
Word. So I've decided I don't want to be a preacher anymore. I want to just be that Samaritan. Yeah, I want to be, that's us, church. That's what we have to do. We have to be that person. We got to stop, even if it ain't convenient. We got to stop. We got to not just stop and go, oh, I'll pray for you. We got to reach out and give somebody a hand up. Hopefully that's good in what you want. Oh,
my goodness.
Incredible.
Beautiful. It's just great to hear it coming from also a biblical perspective.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just so good. Reggie, someone's texting, this is a tricky one, but they're saying that how can you be a devout Christian and be racist? Saying they're coming across Christians, but their, you know, their language, the way they treat people. How can you be both?
Well, you know, the Bible says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. First of all, you don't know where that person is in the stage of life. I call it 0 to 10. At 0, you're born. At 10, you're dialed in, Holy Spirit, whole thing with God. But there's a journey between it. There's a process from 0 to 10. Some people might be at a 3 or 4. They may look on the outside like they're a 9 or a 10, but deep down inside, they're really just a 5, you know? And their actions sometimes speak louder. That's why you personally have to know a man will probably let you down.
Yeah.
Reggie will probably let you down. But Jesus will never let you down. He's that strength. And what the Bible says, he's a strong tower. The righteous run in and they are saved. That's it. Don't put your trust in anything but Jesus, because everything else is going to let you down. So if that's you and you're like, hey, pray for those people. Pray, God, open their eyes. Oh, we give them an Acts chapter 2 experience so they can be the Acts chapter 3 person. Oh, come on. I just thought of that. I should write that down. I want an Acts chapter 2 experience so I can be an Acts chapter 3 man.
Wow.
And then and that's what it's like. We're all in this together. We're just journeying together. Be willing. willing to say, dude, I am sorry. And I did, because I've lived through these riots time and time and time before. But this is the first time I've gone public, really huge on this whole thing, because something in my spirit is literally shifting. You have the coronavirus. All of a sudden we have this. And it started at the end of January when Kobe Bryant passed away like that.
Yeah.
It happened and the whole world went, wait a minute, famous people really do die. And they do die young. And they do die when they're giving and caring. What in the world? This is a year of shifting. And it's not a whole, hey, it's great, we're going to shift. No, it's a deep down, soul searching shift. The coronavirus, you know what it told us? Stay at home. 6 feet. So everything we've done in the last 6 months, first, we looked at death in the eye. Yeah. Second, we've been taught, you got to help other people. Your staying at home isn't just for you, it's to help your neighbor, your brother, your sister, your grandma, who's older, who has other conditions. Wearing a mask, it's not just for you. It's for you to care about other people, how they're going through. All this is teaching us compassion. It's teaching us empathy. It's teaching us to care. And that's what the church was supposed to be. That man, this Good Samaritan, it says, when he saw the man laying on the road, he pitied him. When Jesus went to the town of Nain and there was a funeral coming out of the town, the Bible says that when Jesus saw the woman, and he said, the Bible says Jesus had a crowd with him and that the funeral had a crowd with them. Out of all those people, he saw that one woman and she was crying. And it says his heart went out to her.
Yeah.
We're the church.
Yeah.
Our heart has to go out to people.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's got to break with theirs. It's got to
break. Yeah, God will do it. He'll show you. He'll show you.
Yeah. And again, someone's saying that they're struggling saying the right things to educate people. One of the black community in our church said, hey, I want to help educate. But again, there's a lot of kind of emotion running high at the moment, but we want to try and educate. And listen, I'm the first one to say I need educating. That's why I reached out to you, Reggie. Like Chantel says, she's a Latino background, so she has some experience with this.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm the white guy from Norwich, and I need educating. But a lot of people are going, hey, like you said, listening, what are some practical ways that we can help educate people and help them to understand this issue?
It's on a personal level. It's one-on-one. You know, you got a circle of friends who you know are saying something like, man, we should go out and riot too. And why don't you, when they're not in that text, call them and say, hey, I just want to talk to you. I don't want you to get hurt. I know you're angry and mad, but I want you to know I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. Sometimes all people need is one calming voice to help them. Am I angry? Yeah. Am I mad? Oh, yeah. I know Martin Luther King is rolling over in his grave. I know Jesus is going, oh, man. But they knew this was coming. Jesus knew this was coming. And he set us up to be him in this moment. When you help people, when you talk to them, they have an open heart. Be open-minded. I loved it when Jesus told stories because he had a story to fit everyone's situation. Yeah. And he brought them out at the perfect time, at the right moment to do these things so that people can understand, you know, it's okay where you're at. It's okay. And that's another thing. Just say, it's okay. Even if you don't understand it, you say, you know, I don't understand what you're going through. But it's okay. I'm so glad I'm your friend. I'm so glad we are family together. You see what I'm saying? Do you hear the words I'm using?
Yeah.
It's not those people.
Yeah.
It's not their problem.
Yeah.
It's not their race. It's we. It's us. We're together. We are family.
That's
you do. Make it personal and put yourself in the boat. And if they look at you and say, how are you supposed to know what I'm going through? Look at you. Because you're my friend, I can see you hurting, so I'm hurting too.
That's right.
Make it personal. And God will give you words to say whenever you're in that situation. You just got to wake up in the morning before you even leave your house and say, today, let me be hope to someone. Today, let me show peace to somebody. Mm-hmm. Just decide to be that disciple, even if no one knows your name.
Yeah, that's so true.
I love what you said there about staying open-minded. Uh-huh. And I think so much of this is we've all stayed closed-minded and actually having the courage to go, okay, I'm prepared to be more open-minded. I think that's a great starting point for people.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if you're a political person, also remember this. A lot of people take race and they make it political. You're either on the left side or the right side. You're either Republican in America, Democrat, red or blue. But when we decide to make this a life issue, not a political issue, that's when we start changing everything. We got to look at it and make it go deeper. We got to go deeper because we're in this thing together. What if the church there was made for one kid? Mm-hmm. One kid who's a minority, who's going to grow up and absolutely change the United Kingdom and the world. We have to reach that kid today. See, what we're doing now isn't really for us in our age group. It's for that 18-year-old girl who comes to your church, who's going to watch this and go, they really care about me. Because that 18-year-old girl is going to be a 26-year-old lawyer. Wow. It's about that 15-year-old boy who's watching this going, man, wait a minute. Maybe I can do something great in this world. And that 15-year-old boy in that black skin, that dark skin, is going to grow up and become the prime minister. Wow. That's who we're doing this for. We're speaking to the 14-year-old Martin Luther King Jr. We're speaking to the 19-year-old Billy Graham so that they can see there's hope now so they can live it out in the public eye tomorrow.
Yeah, so good. Reggie, this is a difficult one, but I want to throw it at you. The slogan Black Lives Matter. A lot of people, and, you know, I'll be honest, at first, when I heard that probably 12 months ago, your first reaction to that is all lives matter.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, you know, most people have responded that way. However, we're understanding this phrase more. But can you just talk into that for people, why that means so much right now to so many people? Because I want to understand it. Yeah. I haven't, you know.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, hear my heart on that.
Now, here, let's go. The death that happened before this one was an African-American kid running through a neighborhood. And two men chased him down and literally shot him and killed him in the street. So if you look at it, you see a lot of people are hearing Floyd, 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 Floyd. But man, this goes way back. And that happened like at the end of January, 1st of February. And it didn't make the news until March.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And the only reason it made the news in March is because the guy who filmed it was waiting for something and he never heard anything. He goes, I'm just going to put it online. And that's the only reason that we found out that even happened. So. And then there's books out in America. There's a book out. And there's many of them, how the discrepancy between when a black guy goes out in his car and drives and a white guy. A black guy is like 79% more likely to get pulled over than a white guy. There's stuff like that that's documented. And so the whole Black Lives Matter is we grew up with American history and all the things that happened, the race riots, but when they were lynching black people in Mississippi. And then all this stuff, then it happens again. We're like, okay, they're going to kill us. They're going to start killing us again. Here we go. No, you got to understand. And here's the thing, the whole thing, Black Lives Matter, it's got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
The whole thing's got to start somewhere. And our friend who we both know, Carl Lentz, he said it back in 2016 when the whole Black Lives Matter thing started. He tweeted out there, yes, Black Lives Matter. And everybody jumped on him. So he preached a whole sermon. And real quick in that sermon, he got up and he goes, I say Black Lives Matter. Black lives do matter. And then people say, no, all lives matter. He goes, oh, really? Those are the same people that when Jesus and Matthew was preaching the Beatitudes and said, blessed are the poor, for they shall be fed. And they go, oh, no, Jesus, blessed are all of us. We all need to eat lunch. They'll be contradicting Jesus and what he's trying to teach. Wow. And they would, because everybody, the first thing is to react before you have a thought. You can't. You got to think before you start. And so if Black Lives Matter, great. Let's make sure all Black Lives Matter, because in the end, it's going to end up making every life matter. To the Latinos, it's going to be all of us. We all matter in the end. So it's just making it specific. A lot of people go, no, it's more general than that. Well, is that racism?
Wow.
Is that racism? When you can't live with Black Lives Matter, it has to be, oh, no, we matter too.
Yeah.
Is that a form of racism? And only you can find that out in your closet for yourself. So here's the deal. If people say Black Lives Matter, say, you got that right, because eventually it's going to trickle down to my white self and I'm going to matter too. It's the way it is. You have to fit and work through the system to get where God wants the whole system to be.
Wow.
And it's fractured right now. The system's fractured. But we can get there. But we have to do it together. Mm. Together. It can't be two black guys on this thing talking about racism.
Yeah.
We need you guys. We need a Latino, a white man, and a black man just saying, hey, this is who we are. This is what we do. And we can go back to the beginning when we said, dude, you guys, you're my friends. I would do anything. I get on a plane tonight and fly there and be right beside you. And it's not like out of sight isn't out of mind. Hey, it's what we are. It's who we are. And how do you get there in your life with all this stuff that's happening today? You, and I'll go back again, get in the closet, have an Acts chapter 2, so you can be an Acts chapter 3 woman and an Acts chapter 3 man. We have to do that. See through Jesus' eyes.
Yeah.
So good.
Beautiful.
Reggie, before we pray and bring this to a conclusion, I want you just to speak to those people right now in our country who are hurting. I mean, we're all hurting, but I know for the black community, it's real pain right now. And right there. I mean, listen, you study in Minnesota. That city, Minneapolis, is close to your heart. I mean, your heart is breaking. But speak to those people who are just really struggling right now, Reg.
Nelson Mandela said this. He says, when a deep injury is done to us, we never heal until we forgive. When Jesus was put on the cross and they were driving the nails in his hands, and I guess they say in history they used 3 nails, 2 in each hand, 1 in his feet. He prayed 3 prayers. And the very first prayer he prayed was, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. So in order for him to endure the cross, he had to let go of anger and hate.
So good.
In order for him to literally die with the weight of the world on his shoulders, he couldn't hold a grudge against anyone. So while that Roman soldier was coming down, banging that hammer against his flesh into that tree, he said, forgive him.
Yeah.
So if Jesus can forgive with that happening to him, I can forgive now. I can forgive now. And it's good. Nelson Mandela said this, it is in your hands to make a better world for all who live in it. It's in our hands to make a better world for everybody who lives in it. And that's what we're doing right now. So yeah, you're hurting. Yeah, and go ahead. It's human nature to hurt. It's human nature to have joy. It's human nature to cry. It's human nature to laugh. And all these things have their season. And unfortunately, we're in that cry season right now. But look, in our future, Man City is going to win another premiere. It's going to happen, and we're going to be happy again and joyful and singing. I had to throw that in there, okay? But we're going to do it. And you know what? The sun's going to shine again.
Yeah,
but this time, when the sun shines, we're not going to be standing in the rays by ourselves. We're going to be standing in the sun together. Okay. And all of a sudden, I have a feeling the church is really going to start looking more like heaven, more like heaven on earth. And that's what. So for those of you who are struggling, hey, forgive. How do I do that? Every day. Now, listen, if you don't know, here's the 10-second version. My mom's a prostitute, gave me away to her favorite teacher at school. She raised me, that teacher. 6 years ago, my real mom called. I stood on her porch at 9 p.m. and rang the doorbell, thinking, what am I going to do? I had 2 choices. When she opened the door, I could punch her in the throat like on Jerry Springer and watch her gag, or I can hug my mom. She opened the door weeping and said, I should have never let you go. I'm so sorry. And I hugged her and I said, if you'd have never let me go, I wouldn't be the man I am today.
Wow.
We have to let racism go. We got to let this hurt that we're feeling go so that we become the man and woman God has for us tomorrow. So in your pain right now, let it go. Let me pray for you. Jesus, I pray, God, for everyone who's listening, watching, paying attention. God, some are just like, oh, that's cool. He had great stories. But God, there are some people right now who are literally finding the way to forgive, finding the way to say, I'm sorry, finding the way to saying, teach me, God. Give me an Acts chapter 2 so I can be Acts at chapter 3. God, I pray right now, God, that you would just give hope, God. Give hope to our church. Give hope to our people. God, to the young people, I pray, God, that they would see that they could be the change. Let them see themselves being the superhero in this story that is living out real right now. Let them see themselves being hope, God, to a generation that needs it right now. And Father, I pray that you would just give peace to my pastor and his wife. Open the windows of heaven over England. Open the windows of heaven over Norwich. God, let them people know that there's a church there that cares about them, no matter what color, no matter where they are. And for those who are crippled by this world, let us reach down and take them by the hand and help them up. For those who are broken and beaten and been robbed by the world, let us not walk by on the other side of the road, but let us go to them and take care of them. Even when it's not convenient, let us be convenient for you, Jesus. And I pray, God, that you would just be healing, hope, and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank
you,
Reg.
Wow, that was just, I don't know what I was expecting, but that just on another level, Reggie, thank you so much.
Absolutely, from our home to your home.
Thank you.
I'm praying. If you want to do it again, let me know. I'm good.
Wow.
That message is going to relate to not just our Black community that are going through pain, but a lot of people.
Yeah. Good. We're going to do this. We can do it. Keep me posted, okay?
Yeah.
Text me every now and then, all right? I'll keep you posted on America.
I just want to say as well, to everyone who's watching it, please post this, spread it, tag Reggie in it. He's incredible. He loves to stay connected. Yeah. Follow him on Instagram, on Twitter. He says so many amazing things. Okay, we'll make sure we put all his bios up and aliases, whatever it is, up. But hey, we want to say, Reggie, thank you. Yeah. We love you. We love Michelle, Dominic, the whole family. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Awesome.
And we're praying peace over your nation right now.
God bless you guys. Amen. We'll see you soon.
Love you, Reggie.
God bless. Well, I said it would be a tough listen, a challenging listen, and it was. Thank you, Reggie. We are deeply moved and we are stirred and we can never be the same again. And we will do everything we can as a church to fight injustice, to be more inclusive, to love more, to be more compassionate, and to have the heart of God in our church. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And you know, we have so many incredible Black families, African families, individuals in our church, and Dr. K and Chimo, an amazing family. And we've reached out to them this week, and we know a lot of you in our church, you're hurting. And these guys have made themselves available, and also Colin and Judy, they're from the Caribbean, and they're just fantastic, got two great children. And we would love you guys, if you need some extra support, please reach out. Head to info@soulchurch.com. Drop an email. We'll make sure we pass your details across. And so whatever you need, we want to keep this conversation moving forward. Okay, so we don't want it just to end here. We want to keep moving forward. And we want to help you and resource you. And I want to keep moving forward. So hey, if you think there's areas as a church we can get more involved and become better with this, please speak to us. And I know together we can move forward and we can help more people. Amen. Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.